appreciate that. 1 Timothy chapter 5 tonight. And my voice is a little bit crackly tonight. And I feel like my voice is starting to change finally. It's getting getting a little bit scraggly. But with VBS this week and this morning. So you stay with me and we'll have a good time. 1 Timothy 5 verse 1. Verse 1. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. And the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God, and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge, that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. Infidel. Get that southern accent. An infidel. Get that southern accent going. How to deal with church family. Boy, that's needed, isn't it? How to treat each other in church. So we're going to look at that tonight. Father, please bless us and help us as we study the Word of God tonight. May this message be an encouragement and a help to God's people. We love you. We thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you again for the great week of VBS. Good morning. I know we had lots of folks out today, different reasons. We pray that you bring back all of them. And raise up those that are sick, those that are recovering. And thank you for our crowd here tonight, guests being with us. We pray that you bless each and every one. Thank you for the good special we heard tonight. And the young people that sang it, the young adults that sang it from their heart. What a blessing. And the ladies on the instruments, Brother Ethan leading the choir, their participation tonight, the singing, we just thank you for it. Bless our time now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I certainly love my family. And Summer and I have been married 25 years now, and of course, Tyler, Alex, Wesley, and Avery. By no means we're a perfect family, but I sure do love my family, and the support, and the ministry, and the fun we get to have together. And last night we sat at the dinner table and had BLTs for dinner. We had prayer together, and Summer fed us parasite-infested lettuce for our sandwiches. And we just had a wonderful time. Sure do love my family. I hope tonight that you love your family. I hope you really do. Let's try that again. I hope you love your family tonight. Love your family. Love your family. Love your spouse. Love your kids. I appreciate my extended family. And appreciate all that God has given me in my family. But I'll say tonight, it truly is a blessing to also have a church family. A church family. And if you're going to be in God's family, if you're going to be in a local church family for any amount of time, you and I have got to learn how to treat people in the church family. Now, one day, God's family will all be gathered together in heaven, but until that time, we're not. And so we gather in local church assemblies, local church families, and because you are not perfect and because I am not perfect, sometimes churches go through problems and trials and struggles, and sometimes things are going great. But whatever the situation is, we all need to learn how the Bible tells us to properly treat each other and how to take care of each other in time of need. I've heard it said time and time again, what would I do without my church family? How many feel that way tonight? What would I do without my... Be pretty lonely. Be pretty lonely. Thank God for our church family. Verses 1 to 8, Paul is going to address how to treat different types of people within the church family. How to take care of true widows that need care. And a challenge to take responsibility for those that should be taking care of the widows. And how they need to do that. The local church is comprised of saved people, baptized people, God's family. We are family tonight. And families need to get along. Families need to treat each other carefully, respectfully, in purity. We'll look at those things tonight in verses 1 and 2. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:19, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Galatians 6:10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. It is important that we do good and that we bless others outside of the church family. But if there's any place we ought to do really good to each other, it ought to be in the local church family, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So we have some categories tonight in chapter 5. Let's look at verses 1 to 3, starting off. And tonight, Paul addressed a proper care for church family. Look at verse number 1. Rebuke not an elder. So Paul is assuming that Timothy, Pastor Timothy, has all kinds of different people in the church. They're elderly people. They're mothers. They're young men. They're young ladies. By the way, can I say this tonight? I pray that Pine Bluff Baptist Church never gets to the place where there's only one kind of person in its congregation. We need older folks in the church. And I don't say that to be funny, because I'm getting close to being that. But we need the gray-haired saints in the house of God. We need mothers. We need fathers. We need our young adults and teenagers to be faithful to Almighty God. We need them. We need children. So a healthy church has all kinds of people within its congregation. And here he says, very first thing is, rebuke not an elder. How to treat an elder. How to treat an elder. Rebuke, the word means to strike. It means to strike. Now obviously, we would find it inappropriate for anybody to strike an elder. By the way, we live in a society where this is going on more and more. I just saw a video clip of a group of young people in a Wendy's restaurant getting into a brawl, throwing chairs, throwing hamburgers. And you know, my first thought was, man, what a waste. That hamburger was $3 laying on the ground, and they're wasting that. Just fighting each other, beating each other up. People are running out of the restaurant, all that kind of stuff. We live in a day where people enjoy striking. Now, we would find it offensive and inappropriate for anybody to strike an elderly person. God help you if you do. But not only physically, but with our words. Rebuke, not an elder. Be careful how you speak to the elders. Be careful how you speak to our gray-haired saints. But entreat means to call, address them as a father. Now, the intent is verses 1 and 2, that we are to treat these people in the church just like you would have respect for the people in your family. How should we treat the elder? Hebrews 12:9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. How many of you were taught growing up that you do not disrespect mom and dad? And if you did, you might not sit down for a few days. Am I right? That's what we should teach our young people, is you respect. But not only that, listen, parents and young people tonight, we ought to teach them, and young people, you ought to follow the scripture here. We ought to be careful how we treat the elders in the church, how we respect the gray hair, how we respect their longevity and their wisdom. You say, why should I respect the older people of the church? I don't know, maybe because they've been around the block a few times and they've experienced life and they've been faithful to love Jesus and you're just getting started, and it would be wise for us to listen and learn from those who've done it and are still loving Jesus. And they've paid their taxes. Leviticus 19:32, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head, meaning gray, the older, and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God, I am the Lord. Let me encourage our young people in church tonight, don't get to the place where you just get in the corner with your group of friends and just ignore those in the church that need encouragement. You young people, find some older folks in the church. Respect them, honor them, greet them, and love them just like you would your father. Just like you would respect your father. Proverbs 20, verse 29. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. Is the gray head. I hope God also implies in that the bald head. The bald head. In church, out of church, with their wisdom and experience. Now this is important. Timothy, Pastor Timothy, if you have to talk to an older saint, you better do it right. You better do it lovingly and respectfully. We ought to get back. And by the way, if you noticed, even in society, there's a great lack of respect for our elderly. For our elderly. We often treat them just as a nuisance, or great, we got to take care of them, or they don't know what they're doing, or, and I'll be honest, you've got to watch the flesh. Sometimes you get to Walmart and you're in a hurry. You're just going and going, and you got to, look, these folks have lived life. Some of these men that walk around in the veterans' hats served in war, and we ought to stop and thank them for their service. We ought to appreciate their wisdom. Never, never, ever think that the elderly, the elders of the church, are someone we should just bypass. We should treat them as fathers. And then notice also in verse 1, how to treat the younger men. How to treat the younger men. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. As brethren. Treat them as a brother in Christ. Their family. Their family in the Lord, and brothers in Christ. So treat them as equals. You're a son of God, they're a son of God. I know they're younger, and I know that they are called to respect the elders, but make sure you don't treat the young men as just kind of, they're there to do your bidding, they're there to take your commands and just do whatever. We need to treat our brothers in Christ as equals, for they are their brothers. Their brothers. Now I know that sometimes brethren, just like brothers in the flesh, don't always get along. How many of you had a brother growing up? You had a brother, and did you always get along with your brother? Did you ever have a spat with your brother? And by the way, churches are going to have problems. Churches are going to have situations. People are not going to agree. But can I remind us tonight, it's a sad thing for the world to see the Church of Jesus Christ claim to be family, born again, and can't learn to still be family and love each other when you don't agree on something. Well, I'm just going to leave and go somewhere else. You know what will happen in a year? You'll disagree with someone else over there. We ought to be brethren. We ought to treat each other with respect. Treat people kindly. Treat the young men as equals. Proverbs 20, verse 29. We read it a moment ago for the older men. But the glory of young men is their strength. Can I say this tonight? Thank God for our young people and you young men that serve and do things around here that, shall I kindly say, sometimes the older men cannot do. Folks, we need the young people in church. We need the young people to stack chairs. Some of you men, it's getting harder for you to stack chairs. We need them to take care of the lawns. We need them to get out there and pass out the flyers. You may not be able to do all that, but the beauty of these young men is they have strength that we still wish we had. And they get to do that in the ministry. And so treat the young men as brethren. Thank God for the young men that serve in different ministries and classes. We ought to appreciate that. So we're to treat the elder and not rebuke them, but treat them as a father. Be careful how we talk to them and deal with them. But at the same time, you elder, be careful how we treat the young men. They're not just our bellboy and push around and be unkind to. And then notice this in verse 2, how to treat the elder women. Notice the elder women as mothers. As mothers. Boy, I wasn't allowed, and I'm not saying I always did it because I got in trouble just like anybody else. I was taught to respect both my parents and honor them. But if there's one person in the house, you where you were putting your life on the line, and that's when you disrespected your mother. Boy, Dad, I'm telling you right now, you messed with Mama, your life was over. And you ought to treat the elder women like mothers, just like you would respect your mother, just like you would honor your mother, just like you would appreciate your mother. You ought to treat the elder women in the church like mothers. You ought to appreciate their care and their nurture and their prayers. There's an interesting verse in Romans 16:13 where Paul said this to Rufus, one of the leaders of the church. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. And most commentators don't think Paul is saying to tell Rufus to tell Rufus's mother hello from Paul and then Paul's mother hello from Paul. Many think that Paul is saying that tell Rufus's mother I said hello because she's like my mother. Thank God for the ladies in this church. Thank God for their prayers. One man said this, the Christian family provides all kinds of mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters. Look, you know one of the beauties of the local church is someone may come with no father. Someone may come with no mother. Someone may come with no brothers and sisters. But you know what you find in the family of God? Matthew 19:22, and everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. You know what you have in the family of God? Listen, you have lots of mothers. You have lots of brothers. You have lots of sisters. Thank God for people in the church that take interest in those that don't have what they had and come alongside and be like a mother. Be like a father. Why? Because we're family in the Lord. So that's the beauty of the church. How to treat the elder women. And then notice how to treat the younger women. How to treat the younger women. The younger as sisters with all purity. Gentlemen, just like you would respect and honor your sister, you ought to look at the younger sisters in the church with purity. With purity. Look, we're not going to allow some dude from town to walk in the church and check out all of our daughters in the church. That's not what we're about here. We're not going to let some, well, I'll be careful what I say tonight, but we're not going to let, you understand, we're not going to let some guy in here and come into church and think this is a place to check out young ladies and all of that. No. We treat young women as sisters, just like you would your sister, with all purity. With all purity. Why? Listen to me. Because that young lady, that young woman, doesn't belong to you. She belongs to God. And young men, don't forget, when you start looking towards the future and you are interested in a young lady, before you try to do something you shouldn't do, young men, listen to me, that young lady doesn't belong to you. That young lady first belongs to God. And then she belongs to her father, who in the South probably has an arsenal of reasons why you shouldn't mess with her. Amen. Be careful. Treat each other with respect. Treat each other with purity. Treat each other the way you would your family, honestly, purely, respectfully. And then he says in verse 3, how to treat widows. How to treat widows. Honor widows that are widows indeed. That doesn't mean we dishonor widows that we'll see in a minute don't qualify to get help from the church in a certain sense. But we are to honor the widows that are widows indeed. Value them. Care for them. We are to uplift them. And so Paul addresses proper care for church family. How many believe we ought to treat each other properly in the house of God? Okay. And then number 2, Paul addressed a proper care for widows. Now, this will only be part 1 tonight of the widow part. We'll read it all, but we won't be able to get everything tonight. So let's see what God says about widows in verse 3. Honor widows that are widows indeed, But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she is a widow indeed and desolate, trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth, and these things give in charge that they may be blameless. You would not believe the phone calls that sometimes we get here at the church, or that I've gotten over the years with people that call for help. Now I'll be honest, if I was in a situation where I was in the world and I wasn't a Christian and I was looking for help, I would probably get the phone book out, or today no phone book, I'd get the internet out. But supposedly if I can't afford anything, I shouldn't have internet anyways. But it usually doesn't work like that. And we get all kinds of phone calls. I need this, and I need this. And would you believe that there have been times where I've told someone, I'm sorry, we can't help you right now. I have had people cuss me out. I have had people yell at me. And I have had people say, aren't you a church? It's your job to help me. And the truth of the matter is, no, it's not. We're not required to shovel out money like we're a bank to every Joe. Excuse me, any Joes in here tonight. Any Joe in town that wants us to pay 3 months of internet, you say, come on, I'm telling you, that happens. There are people in the church that do need. Now remember that verse. We are to do good to all men. We are, by the way, we do help people. We do help people. But overall, we especially ought to do good to those in the church. And that starts with widows. So let's talk about the recognition of widows. Honor widows that are widows indeed. One man said in Paul's day, widows often faced the greatest poverty. Women did not work outside jobs in those days, and when their husbands died, that was the end of their support. Many of these ladies had nothing. They had no one to fall back on. And so Paul said, make sure that you find out. They need to be widows indeed. Now, Paul's going to address this. We'll read the verses a little bit later about what widows indeed mean. But he said, if there is a widow indeed, give them assistance. Give them help. And then notice the restriction of widows. Verse 4. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. So there's a restriction here for widows. If they have children or nephews, and I've learned that sometimes the word nephews can even have a broader meaning to include extended family, even grandchildren. So if there's children, or we'll just use it in the strictest sense, nephews, let them first learn to show piety or reverence at home and requite, and that word means to pay back, their parents. Young people, we've got it backwards today. I'll be honest, we're growing up in generations where we have this idea that mom and dad ought to do everything for us, take care of us, give us everything we need. And then we get old enough, we're gone, we're out of here. And if we barely pick up the phone, barely say anything, maybe we'll make our presence known at Christmas time. And if mom and dad get old, well, that's on them. No. The Bible says that we are to pay back our parents. Let me ask you a question, young people. Who feeds you? Well, God does. Well, yeah, God does. And you know who God put in your life to feed you? Your mom and your dad. Who puts clothes on your back? Who pays for you to play sports? Who provides? Let me tell you something. Praise God for owning a home. You pray for me. I'm struggling with praising God for the air conditioning bill. The utilities. Before you complain, who pays to keep that AC on? Come on now. Who pays for the gas in the car to get you to school and back? Who pays for your number two pencils and your iPads and all the stuff you... Who pays that? Your parents pay for that. And there's going to come a day when your parents may need your help. And your mom needs your help. And your dad passed away and your mom needs your help. And the Bible says that she ought to have no hesitation that the first people that are going to come to her aid are those children and those nephews. Those are the first ones. First ones. One man said, if there are close relatives of the widow, they must help the widow first, not the church first. This stops relatives. Now listen, what? Why? This stops relatives from excusing their responsibility by pushing off the widow onto the church, as many would do. Well, we don't need to help mom. The church will do it. No, you're to do it. You're to do it. Why? For this is good and acceptable before God. Here's the first question as I preach this morning. The first question we should ask in all of this, what does God want? What will honor God? So that's the restriction of widows. We'll get more to that next message. But notice the requirement of widows. Now the widow has to be a certain kind of lady. Now she, verse 5, now she that is a widow indeed and desolate. That means she's living in solitude, or even means she's forsaken. She's desolate. The widow must be in dire condition materially in order to receive aid from the church. No widow, now listen, so that sounds harsh, but no widow was going to enlarge her wealth if she had it at the church's expense. If she could take care of herself, or she was set up to be taken care of by her children or before her husband passed away, and she does not need the church's assistance, then the church does not need to help in that fashion. In other words, she doesn't need to have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars in the bank and then go to the congregation and say, I need you to pay all my bills. Paul said, that's not the way it works. She has to be a widow indeed, desolate, forsaken. And the Bible says in verse 5, trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. She needs to be trusting in God. This is a saved widow. This is someone who's part of the church. This is someone who's pledged her allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ and continueth, she's faithful, in supplications, prayers, night and day. Someone who's serving God. Someone who is faithful. This is a widow that is saved and faithful in her Christian walk and involvement. We see someone like that in the New Testament when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple for that covenant of circumcision, and there the sacrifice of the doves. The Bible says, of course, we know Simeon, but also there was a lady there named Anna. Anna. Remember Anna? Luke 2, 36 and 37. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. She had given herself in her widowhood to serving God, being faithful to the Lord. So that's the requirement of widows. And notice, now Paul gets what some may say kind of rough, but there's a refusal of widows. Look at verse 6. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. There's a refusal of widows. So what's the conduct of the refusal? She that liveth in pleasure. That word pleasure means luxuriously. Luxuriously. That would be like a widow coming in, fancy cars, all the rings and jewelry, fancy clothing, biggest house in town, biggest plantation in the county. coming in and telling the church, I need you to pay for this and this. And you're thinking, ma'am, my family ate beans and weenies last week. And that's someone who's living luxuriously. In other words, the widow is not concerned about prayers. She's the kind of widow that doesn't show up to prayer meetings, doesn't want to serve God. And she's living luxuriously. She may make an appearance at church. She may have the form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. She's one that wants to save face as far as being a old-time member of the church, but there's no real evidence of continuing in prayer, of godliness, of holiness. So that's the conduct of refusal. She liveth in pleasure. And the Bible says, is dead while she liveth. What's Paul saying there? In other words, she is dead in the sense of she is not living out her Christian faith. Something happened when her husband passed away. She decided to give herself to enjoying the spoils that perhaps she has. And nothing wrong with the spoils. Nothing wrong with enjoying life. But not at the sake of forsaking living as Christ would want her to live. So she's dead while she liveth. The widow who takes advantage of her newly found liberation gathereth up the insurance money while having a ball and forsaking the Lord. So the Bible tells us there's a refusal. Notice the command of refusal, verse 7. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. In other words, church, you need to give an account. And this is what I want you to do. This was from the Holy Spirit. Now, let's jump down just to read tonight. We don't have time to study it. Verses 9 to 16. I'll read fast. You listen fast. Just don't get done before I do. Okay? Here we go. Verse 9. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. In other words, a life of a Christian testimony. But the younger widows refuse. For when they have begun to wax wanton, and that word wanton means to wander, to be careful here, even become loose, become roaming is another word that you could use. To wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation, another word could be judgment, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only idle, but tattlers. Sometimes children aren't the only one that are tattlers. Also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. He said it's better for them to live a godly life, guide a house, marry, have children, so that way Satan does not have something negative to say against God's people, specifically against this widow. For some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believeth hath widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. So Paul addresses here widows. We'll get more to that later. So there are widows that the church needs to step up. And by the way, even if a widow does not qualify for the type of care that Paul addresses here, let me just say this so there's no confusion. That doesn't mean we can't still value and honor and be a blessing to widows. That doesn't mean you can't say, well, I'm sorry, ma'am, you've got life taken care of. No. It's still good to be a blessing to the household of faith. Okay? So that doesn't mean that if a widow has a very nice car that you say, well, she's got all she needs, I don't have to help her. No, we still should be a blessing to one another. And by the way, some of the greatest needs widows may have is not material. The spiritual. Being friendly. I don't know what it's like to go to bed at night wishing my wife was still alive. I don't know that. Some of you in this room, some of you dear saints who I love, know what it's like to go to bed at night knowing you'll never see your spouse this side of eternity. By the way, going back this morning, aren't you glad for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't know what that's like. They may not need a new car. They may not need help with rent. They may not need help with groceries. But you know what we can all do is we can love and pray. That's why I was saying, young people, don't just avoid the older folks in church. Don't just think, well, they've got their little group. Young people, can I encourage you, find some older folks in church. Befriend them. Be a blessing to them. Learn from them. They've been around the block a few more times than you have. And can I say this to our older folks in church, respectfully, it's good for you as well to find some young people and invest some time to go out and seek out and greet the young people as well. You know what I love to see? I love to see a church all greeting and talking with one another, no matter how old or young they are. So Paul addresses the care of widows. And then number three, Paul addressed the proper care for family, personal family. Look at verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, and specifically for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. There's no doubt a general application here that we hear often about work and labor, and we ought to provide for families, and no doubt we all agree with that. We all amen that. But specifically tonight, he is referencing those that should be taking care of widows. The concern is, but if any provide not for his own, and specifically for those of his own house. Paul is targeting those who are family members of those not providing for their widowed mother. Now, by the way, this was a day when they did not have medical insurance, life insurance. I remember when I started pastoring. No. How many are thankful that God has patience and brings along people enough to teach you things? Nobody taught me about IRAs, saving for the future like that. Nobody, when I was younger, no one really taught me about some of this insurance stuff. I remember when I started getting the ministry, a man walked up, he said, "Brother, I've got a question for you." Then I'm thinking, oh, Bible question, all right. He says, "Do you have life insurance?" I said, "What's life insurance?" He said, "You need life insurance." I said, "I'm alive, what do I need that for?" He said, "In case something happens to you, your wife has something to live off of." I think it's good for every man to have life insurance. Tell our young men, when you're married, you get life insurance for your family. Because if you go, who's going to take care of your spouse and your kids? I mean, you get the bit, you leave your wife $300 million. So she, I don't have that. I'm sorry, I can't. But I do have something. Have some, yeah, $50. Summer gets $50 if I pass away. She's trying to up it to $100 so she can go to cookout three more times than just the two. But all these, Paul, they didn't have life insurance. They didn't have savings. They didn't have 401ks. They didn't have IRA. Could we not say tonight, we are a blessed people that we can have those things? Now, you may not have all those. I don't have all those things I mentioned. But thank God for the provisions that we can have today that they didn't have back then. So when a lady lost her husband, sometimes there was absolutely nothing. And Paul said, church, do what you can to help them, but just so in case all of a sudden all these different people say, oh, my mom's a widow, can the church help take care of her? Timothy can say, well, I'm sorry, the Apostle Paul instructed us that that's your job. Now, we'll be a blessing. We'll be a blessing. We'll be there. But that's your job first. But there are some ladies that we could help in a great way. And so Paul says, if you don't provide for your own, notice the compromise, he hath denied the faith. How is that denying the faith? Because you are claiming to have something and not living it out. I know the word religion gets a bad rap. By the way, how many are glad you're not saved by religion? But the word religion isn't a bad word. In fact, can I shock some of you? The word religion is a Bible word. Some of you don't believe me tonight. Some of you are still thinking about the $50 I'm leaving my wife if I pass away. Bible says in James 1:27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. You know what religion is? Religion is the outworking of what you say you believe. And when there's a mother and there's family and they decide to leave her hanging, the Bible says that they've denied the faith. They've denied the faith. That's pretty rough. And then notice the comparison at the end of the verse, and is worse than an infidel. You know what an infidel is? It's a faithless, unbelieving person. Sometimes we preach about this person and that person and that kind of person, and can you believe that down the road, how far down the road this kind of person's, and they're reprobate and all that. You know the Bible says, if you don't take care of that widow and you are in the position where you should be, he's talking to you, he says, you're not an infidel, you're worse. That's a little rough, isn't it? That should make us stop and think. Because you claim something and you're not living it out. Take your Bibles and go to John chapter 19 very quickly tonight. John chapter 19. John chapter number 19. John chapter 19. Now, we don't have time to get into the doctrine of this, but Jesus, the Son of Man, had an earthly mother named Mary. Mary was not the mother of God. She was the mother of Jesus in the flesh. There's a difference. But I want to show you what Jesus did while dying, now think about this, dying on the cross and taking on your sins. Verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. And wouldn't it be just like a mother to be there when her son is going through what he's going through? How many are thankful your mother? Your mother. You know, as my mom's going through these chemo treatments, I'll say this. When you hear things like it's cancer, when you hear things like I've got a few months to live, maybe a year or two, it does make you stop to think and appreciate what you haven't appreciated in the past. It really does. And while Jesus is dying on the cross, and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene, when Jesus therefore saw his mother, and notice, he took time while hanging on the cross to see his mother, and the disciple standing by whom he loved, that would be John, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Amazing thing. Jesus was there to die for the sins of the world, and he took time to remind his mother that she was still his mama. Look at verse 27. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Jesus Christ, in the moment of death, paying for your sins and mine, stopped to make sure that his mother was not left without help. Now, where were his other brothers and sisters in the flesh? I don't know. The Bible seems to indicate that they weren't believers till after the resurrection. I don't know why Jesus did this. I'm not God. I don't have the mind of God. But I do know this. He made sure, and by the way, he gave her the best care because he gave her to the disciple whom he loved, John. Peter might have been a rough choice, amen? Might have been a rough choice. God's still working on old Peter. But he gave his mother to John. What are you trying to say? Jesus was an example of what the Holy Spirit wrote under inspiration by the Apostle Paul to tell Timothy to teach that church about taking care of widows. You know who widows are? Somebody's mother. Somebody's mother. And so Paul tells us that we ought to take care of those. So I hope you know Christ as Savior tonight. I hope you're part of the family of God. I hope you value your church family. I hope that you decide to love each other. And I know in a church family, even this size, that people are different. People have different personalities. People may rub you the wrong way. You may, before you got, here's an amazing thing about church, and we're done. Before you got saved, there are a bunch of people in this room that you would have never hung out with, never been a part of their lives, because they just weren't your cup of tea. And you know what happened? You got saved, Jesus brought you to church, you got baptized, and now you're family with people that you never would have fellowshiped with outside of church. Isn't that the glory of the gospel? I hope you love your church family. I hope you're patient with your church family. I hope you're forgiving to your church family. I hope you treat each other with respect and purity. And let's care for those that need to be cared for. Let's do our best. Let's let the world see that the church is something different. Now, I know there's no, it tells us to take care of widows and all that, and I know that's going to look different for every person, every family situation. I understand that. But what is he trying to say? Here's the whole point of this. We have a church family, and here's what it comes down to. We ought to love one another. You know what that's talking about? It's talking about loving people. Loving one another. By the way, you may say, nah, I'm not going to help anybody. Wait till one day when you need help. Wait till one day when you need help, sir, ma'am. And then you'll appreciate it when someone helps you out. Aren't you glad for God's family, the church? Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for your people tonight. Thank you for all that you've given us. God, I pray as we take just a moment or two of prayer. Lord, not a real bombastic revival preaching message, more of a study tonight, but some wonderful truth in the Scripture. Lord, I was touched when I read John 19 about Jesus taking care of his mother in the midst of that horrible death on the cross. Glorious for us that are saved, but a horrible way to die. Could barely breathe. He took time. He took time to make sure his mother was taken care of. And that touched my heart. And Lord, I thank you for these good people. We have elders in the room tonight. We have elder women. We have young mothers. We have young ladies. We have young men. We have moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, teenagers, children tonight. And may we treat each other lovingly, respectfully, kindly, appropriately. May we look out for one another. May we help one another. May we be a blessing to one another. And Lord, tonight, maybe just take a moment or two and just thank you for what you've done here at Pine Bluff Baptist. You've been real good and kind to us. Here's what I'd like to do tonight. I know this wasn't a real preaching message, but right where you're at tonight. Right where you're at tonight. More of a lesson tonight. I just want you to take a moment and have prayer. Pray for those VBS kids that got saved. Maybe you can think of some widows right now in our church. Maybe you can think of people that are hurting. I know Mrs. Vance has surgery Wednesday. I know people are recovering from surgery. People are sick. We've got all kinds of needs. People we've been praying for a long time. So I just want you to stay where you're at tonight. We'll let the piano play a moment or two. And just have prayer. Seek the Lord tonight where you're at.